Hi, everybody. Welcome to 1200XL. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're going to be talking about Bruce Lee.
Cool.
Now, you were lucky enough to grow up at sort of the height of the chop suey cinema craze.
I'd say
that the 70s going into the early 80s was really in America where people were discovering these things for the first time. And you had lots of people that you could kind of admire and look up to. Was Bruce Lee at or near the top of the list of the actors that you saw back then?
Top of the list for me. I love Bruce Lee. And everyone, and almost everyone I know of my era, their boys especially, they love Bruce Lee. I loved him. He was the embodiment of like awesome, real martial arts, like bad dude. Guys like him, if I had to pick a pantheon of the guys I idolized when I was a kid, Bruce Lee would be pretty much near the top. Muhammad Ali would be near the top. Evel Knievel would be near the top. Those would be and pretty much after that, not counting like pro wrestlers, there's a pretty big
drop. Interesting that you mention Ali, because Ali was definitely on the downward swing of his trajectory as you were growing up.
Well, you got to think, when I was a little kid, though, I grew up, even when I didn't know what was going on, Ali was still, I believe he had his fight with George Foreman, 74? Mm-hmm. So I was three. And then when he re-won the title, so he ran with the title. I distinctly remember him losing the belt to Leon Spinks. And that happened in 76 or something like that. It was a real long time ago. And I remember being furious as a little kid.
Yeah, you were only 5 years old then.
Well, my dad always worked Sunday, so on Sundays I was by myself watching Wild World of Sports. And so we always got all the Muhammad Ali stuff back then. And so even as a little kid, I was just invested in him. I just love Muhammad Ali. And I was furious when he lost and when he won it back. Because when you're a little kid, you don't realize, this guy's been boxing since the 60s, the early 60s. He was the hero, He was a great talker. I just loved him. But Bruce Lee, very similar. And the funny thing is, as a kid, I don't think I hardly ever saw any of Bruce Lee's movies. Mm-hmm. I used to watch him on The Green Hornet when he played Kato on there. Me and the dad, because dad was a big Batman fan, the old campy Batman, so I used to watch that, but I was more of a fan of Green Hornet. It was strictly because of Kato. But Bruce Lee was an idol. He was in the back of comic books and stuff. He was the guy you could get stickers and posters of him and, all the martial arts stuff. He really brought all of that to America. He was the pivotal guy that brought that stuff to America. And there's a reason why people still talk about him. He was an iconic character.
Yeah.
And so when you go back and watch his films, some people lose. It's hard. The translation of why he was so famous doesn't necessarily come through cinematically now, because some of these movies, of course, are dated. They're foreign films if you're not used to watching that sort of thing. But you can always tell his presence makes the movie go. He's the pivotal person. And then, once he sort of eventually, when he passed on, you had sort of a lull, but you had like a Sonny Chiba's and eventually Jackie Chan would come down the line, and Jackie Chan's kind of took it in a whole new direction. Plus you had Chuck Norris there and Benny the Jeter Kitas and those guys. So you had some more action film guys before the Von Dahms and the Seagals came in, who kind of muddied the water at that point. But yeah, that's another thing about Bruce Lee is he was a real fighter and people knew that, and that gave him a lot more weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the man, Bruce Lee, before we talk about the game, Bruce Lee.
Yeah, good idea. So Bruce Lee, born in way back in November of 1940, a lot of people don't know that he was actually born in San Francisco, Boat.
I didn't know that.
He only lived to be 32, Boat, died in 73.
That's crazy.
So think about that. He was my idol, and he died when I was two. So that goes to show you. So, of course, he had his son Brandon Lee, who went on to play The Crow and was tragically killed on the set of that. It's funny, his son was sort of a journeyman, a B-level actor, martial arts guy, and then The Crow was going to be his big film. So that was a real tragedy.
Yeah. Now, did Sting start dressing up as the Crow directly as a result of the movie The Crow?
Oh, yeah. It was just a typical wrestling ripoff, you know. The movie that I think really put Bruce on the map is when he did Fists of Fury, which is a great flick, where he plays the member of the school that gets hassled by another martial arts school of Japanese guys. And this is at a point in China where the Japanese are kind of basically running the show there. And it's culturally, this was supposed to be a huge event. There's a scene in the movie where Bruce Lee comes to a park and they won't let him in the park. There's a sign on the park that says no dogs or Chinese allowed.
Yeah.
And I've read this and heard it many times that in the movie, he beats the crap out of some geeks, and then he jumps up and he shatters that sign with his foot. He kicks the crap out of it. And they said in Hong Kong, and he says, people were like cheering in the aisles. And
sure,
crying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a big cultural event.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and watch his films, I would recommend Fist of Fury. I'd also recommend Enter the Dragon. Was a really good movie. That's the whole army, the fighting force of extraordinary magnitude. With that whole shtick where he fights the guy that has the claw for the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's been lampooned a million times,
right.
But it's still a fun flick. He also was in a movie that didn't get finished called The Game of Death, that they went back and refinished it, which is pretty good. He had showdowns, I believe, in that one. In fact, I think it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar he fought in that.
Wow.
He fought Chuck Norris in one of his films. So, yeah, he met some of the contemporaries of today that are in martial arts. He died in a very odd way. There's always the doubt as to what killed him. Truth of the matter is, I think it was like a blood vessel in his brain or something. It was something that was
just
not
an aneurysm.
One of those things that happens. But
right.
There was controversy and
One of the things I remember is that after he died, and maybe this happened even before he died, but there were all of these other Bruce Lees that sort of crawled out of the woodwork. The L-I, the L-E-I,
My favorite one was Bruce Lee, spelled B-W-U-C-E, Bruce, to accentuate the stereotypical bad English.
Right.
There were tons of those guys. Dragon Lee was another. In fact, there's a Mexican wrestler right now called Dragon Lee. He's real popular. Again, same gimmick. It's funny, if you Bruce Lee, his visage, his character has been around forever. He did that. There was a commercial where he used him a couple years ago where he was playing ping pong. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
He's been in games. They did the Bruce Lee story. If you've ever seen a movie called Shaolin Soccer, which is one of my favorite wacky flicks, their goalie is like basically a Bruce Lee ripoff. And at the end where the goalie gets mauled, they even reenact the Bruce Lee death scene where they cart him off and he's got the sunglasses on, everybody's crying. If you ever saw Bruce Lee when he was paraded around back when he died, it looked just like that. So you can't go anywhere, even in 2020, without seeing Bruce Lee, stuff.
Did Shaolin Soccer, was that, I know that there was a time, I think it was, this is like the very late 90s, where the Kung Fu movie sort of came back, and you had Kung Fu Hustle, you had Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Was Shaolin Soccer in that same time period?
Kung Fu Hustle was, I think it was the follow-up to Shaolin Soccer.
Okay, I need to watch that then, because I love Kung Fu Hustle.
I like Shaolin Soccer a lot, because it was, martial arts is great for comedy.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't something that Bruce Lee used a lot of, but, Jackie Chan, of course, made his career in it, and Sammo Hung and these sorts of characters. And there's a lot to be done that makes it fun. And plus, you can do it and still have it sort of be serious at the same time. And Shaolin Soccer, though, it was just ludicrous. Ludicrous film. That's what made it great. Hey, if I like a soccer movie, it's got to be ludicrous. Anyway, with all that, it makes it pretty obvious that you had to make a game. And Bruce Lee ended up being one of the first stars that had a game basically made after him.
Because
this game was released way, way back, Boat, back in the day. Let's get into it, Boat.
Okay.
So what you've got here is Bruce Lee, a game released way back in the day. I'm looking at here. I think, Bo, what I've done here cunningly is I've actually printed out the printed out the wrong game notes here, so we're just have to wing it.
That's all right. We can do it.
Yeah. Bruce came out, and I believe it was put out by an outfit called Datasoft in 83.
That's right.
Now, Datasoft, they actually licensed his image and whatnot. I mean, they had to actually, they didn't just take it.
It was all legit. It's, yeah, it was above board.
And so, yeah, that's exactly. I believe they talked to his widow. If you know anything about Bruce Lee's, his family, they hold on to him. They don't just let anyone do whatever they want.
Right.
I guess is what I'm saying. They will make you pay, and which is the way it should be, because they got to protect his image with everybody else. So what do you do in this game? And this I want to get into this with you in a minute about the actual meat of this game. But what do you do in this game? This game is, I guess, what you would call a platform game.
This is a flip screen platformer for sure.
A platform collection game, mm-hmm. right, where you play Bruce Lee. And you run through multiple screens, like boats that flip screens, and try to collect. Most of the time, you're collecting lanterns.
Right.
Although there are a few times where you collect a yin yangs, you know, symbols, mm-hmm. And you are being ever pursued by the two enemies in the game, the ninja with his stick and the green Yamo, the sumo wrestler. He's green. He makes a weird barking noise occasionally for no good reason, but...
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons why the Green Yamo should bark.
And these guys, unfortunately for Bruce Lee, these guys have, like, almost mystical powers. They can die and come back. They can teleport. They do all kinds of crazy stuff that Bruce Lee can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what can you do as Bruce Lee? If you're thinking you're going to go around this these various screens and kick a bunch of butt, you're mistaken. This Bruce Lee is more of a runner as opposed to a fighter. You have the ability to punch and kick, but if you play like I do, Bo, and I'm guessing you do, you don't do very much punching or kicking in this game.
You really want to avoid as much as you can.
Yeah, tell them why.
Well, this game is, the reason why you play this game is to collect the lanterns. You know, this game takes, back in the day, you could clearly chart the course of computer game evolution. And so you had a game like Jumpman, where you had all these platforms and you're collecting the various things in each level before you're allowed to progress. And what Bruce Lee did was it took that concept and it built on it. It made all the various levels accessible from the get-go, you know, through the flip screen thing. And it added a combat element, a sort of a loose combat element. And it turned, you know, each individual level of Jumpman into a whole world to explore. And sometimes you couldn't access different parts of the world until you'd collect, you know, a certain number of lanterns or lanterns in certain locations. And
right. So
this game really represents what I would call the next phase of platforming as a genre on home computers. Now, why do you not want to just attack guys? Well, it's not to your advantage. You know, when you try and attack an enemy, you know, three things can happen and two of them are bad. The first bad thing that can happen is you get knocked back. The second bad thing that can happen is you can die. Now, if you do manage to connect with an enemy, it doesn't kill the enemy right away. You have to kick these guys a couple times before they disappear.
Yeah, many
only
times,
to reappear later on. So there's no long-term benefit to killing these guys.
What do you? Let me ask you, this is a Bruce Lee game, and we played this many years between the two of us. But as a Bruce Lee game, did it ever bother you that Bruce Lee really can't whoop anybody?
Well, you know, I appreciate this game because it feels more like you're walking around a real world than a game like Kung Fu, you know, on the Nintendo or what was the arcade? Kung Fu. It was Kung Fu something in the arcade version.
Master.
Yeah, Kung Fu Master. Thank you.
Yeah.
This game felt like you were Bruce Lee, and it was almost like more of an adventure game. It bothers me a little bit that Bruce Lee is not a more competent fighter, especially since his opponents are a nondescript ninja and a big, fat, green dude. The green Yamo, Bruce Lee should be able to make short work of him, no problem. Because, you know, outside of the sumo ring, your sumo wrestler is not going to be what you call a classily trained fighter most of the time.
I wouldn't want to be hit by one.
No, that's true. They've got power, for sure.
You know, I agree with you. You would think that, but you know, and this is not, this is just sort of a sidebar, but to me, this game is this game would make much more, of course, this didn't have, first of all, this is, we're just screwing around here, but this would make a much more sense as a Jackie Chan game.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Chan's known for running around, leaping up on ledges, jumping around, running from fights.
Yeah.
You know, that it like, if this was a true Bruce Lee game, Bruce Lee would just beat the holy crap out of the Green Yamo and the Ninja and then just go and get the stuff.
Right.
You don't really think of Bruce Lee as the wacky running away from combat type.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, that's, none of this takes away from the game, but we're just screwing around. But it is something I always thought was funny that they made a Bruce Lee game where you play Bruce Lee, but you don't really want to fight anyone or you'll get mauled.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that. So what do you do in this? I mean, when you go and collect these lands, like Boat said, it's a flip screen adventure, you know, a scrolling, leaping game where you collect these lanterns. When you collect enough on the first set of levels, a trap door opens and you can go down and descend into the next set of levels or challenges. And this is sort of the way the game goes. The challenges can be anything from just avoiding knives or just leaping over stuff that is dangerous to avoiding like these moving blades that can cut you. It can also be moving over little electrical dots that come on these different patterns on this floor that you have to avoid. There's also areas where these elements are combined. So you have to avoid moving blades. You have to avoid blades that are sticking out of the ground like knives, and you have to also avoid electrical areas on the ground. So there are areas where they use these in conjunction. There are also, one thing that this game does that I think is great, Bo, and you mentioned it, it feels like a big, real sort of world that, and it's all sort of tied together because as you go through these levels, this thing's been very cleverly mapped out to where you will come in and out of different levels at different points.
Exactly.
To make it so you can only reach certain areas after you obtain certain lands.
And I don't know if this is the case or not because I've never looked into it, but I think that this is a game that you could actually plot out, you know, and see the entire world like on a big map, sort of like Pitfall, you know, how you can actually plot it out and different places connect with different other places. You can't discount the existence of the environmental hazards. This is another first where, you know, not only are you having to contend with non-computer players, but with the Green Yamo and the Ninja, but you've got all of these other things, the spiked floors, the electrical pulses. I mean, that was something that was still really new in computer games. If you look at a game that was just 1 year, you know, like Berserk, you know, in the arcades, you didn't have stuff coming out of the walls to kill you. You just had to worry about the robots. Of course, the walls could actually kill you, but
correct. Yeah. And if you think about the amount of things Bruce can do, and some of this stuff isn't really it isn't used a lot, but I mean, Bruce can punch, Bruce can kick, Bruce can jump. He can also duck, and he can also shimmy across the screen on like hand over hand.
Yeah, there are many different things he can do.
Yeah, and so, and he could, of course, climb up and down stuff. So, I mean, it all makes it. This is sort of like, I'll tell you what this reminded me of, Boat, when I go back and play it. This is sort of like, and you sort of nailed it. This is sort of like we're coming off of Jumpman, and this is sort of that missing link between that sort of game and sort of a game like Prince of Persia, you know, where they really went, it's this sort of puzzly type game, but they expanded on even more. And this game sits very nicely in between the two to me.
Yeah.
And because it's not nearly as hard as Prince of Persia, but it's challenging. You're not going to have Yamo and the Ninja on every screen. Some of the screens are simply there to have you avoid the obstacles. And these aren't necessarily like twitchy type puzzles. I mean, sometimes you have to sit down and look at how you're going to get someplace.
Right.
How am I going to land here? How am I going to time this fall to get past this blade so I don't land on this electrical pad?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what makes the game, that's what gives the game a lot of staying power with
one of the things.
It's having to come back and do that stuff.
One of the things that I really appreciate about this game is the spawn rate of the Ninja and Yamo. Because in a lot of games, you know, we play a lot of ZX Spectrum games where you kill an enemy and it just immediately comes back, boom, and you don't get a chance to breathe. In this game, you can kill the Yamo and the Ninja and they'll come back, but they give you a little bit of time before they show their faces again.
Well, I'll tell you, I beat this game and came back and I went. I did great. I've got that wireless game pad hooked up to the XEGS mm-hmm. boat, and so I've got a level of control I'm not used to having on a game like this. I've got a game pad,
right.
And at a game like this, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Boat, and so I was having real good runs on this, and I got well into the second go through, I can tell you that the Yamo and the Ninja spawn a lot quicker, and they are super aggressive on the second go-through. There are areas where the Yamo and the Ninja spawn right on top of Bruce Lee, and on the wave falling down to hit the ground, the Yamos hit you two or three
wow.
times.
That's another thing in this game. When the Yamo, when Green Yamo and Ninja, when they team up against you, you can be screwed real quick because they'll literally juggle you back and forth. You can be in the middle of a narrow corridor, and they'll just hit you back and forth until you die.
And Yamo they love getting you as you're getting ready to climb out of something.
Oh, yeah.
They'll kick you. You know, so yeah, they're a real troublesome pair. Now, one of the things that this game has going for it, and this is sort of unique too, is that you can play a two-player version of this where one player is Bruce Lee and the other player is Yamo.
Right.
You can play multiplayer, just both of you are Bruce Lee and you just take mm-hmm. turns. But this is simultaneous play where one person plays Yamo. And my gosh, we didn't do this that much back in the day, but what we would often do is have someone play Yamo and then just not hurt mm-hmm. you. So it would give you an advantage as you went through the game, because getting Yamo out of the picture, it didn't hurt. You know, on the early level of this, I don't find the Ninja and Yamo to be that troublesome. There are certain areas where they can be a pain in the butt, but if you've played this a bunch of times, you can get used to get ditching them, or you could also get them killed. You know, they come back, but by the time they come back, you're usually long gone, you know. So so there's that. You know, I should mention, Boatster, that this was designed by a guy named Ron J. Fortier, and the artist in this was Kelly Day. There's a real nice picture on some of the versions of this that they've done of Bruce Lee. This appeared on a ton of stuff, Boat. I don't know if you knew how many things this was on. So, of course, the Atari 8-bit version is the original, and in my opinion, that's the best one that I've played. Mm. You've also got an MSX version, the Speccy, Amstrad, the BBC Micro, C64, the IBM PC, which is absolutely atrocious. I can tell you that right now. It is horrible. The Apple II and the PC-88, they all got ports of this game with the Amstrad coming last. But I've played some of these. I've played obviously the Atari. I've played the Spectrum. I've played the C64, and I've played the IBM. I always defer to the Atari version on this one, Beau. What about you? I know you've played quite a few.
You know, I've played this on the Speccy, and I've played it on the Atari, and that's it. So I haven't tried the C64
oh, really?
Version.
Yeah.
I would guess just by looking at it that the C64 version probably looks pretty identical.
I
was very surprised. You know, remember that Bruce Lee was the very first episode of Ira Sinclair, and I was very surprised at how well that played. Although this looks, you know, miles ahead of the Spectrum version. This is a game that I didn't have when I was a kid. I never played this until I was an adult, I felt like if I would have had this as a kid, I would have been so happy, because this is just the kind of game that I love. You know, exploring a huge world. But I'm glad that I've gotten to play it now.
We played this a lot when I would babysit for my neighbors on their Atari 800 or 400, whatever they had at the time. Mm-hmm. And we really just wore it out.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever beat it back then. I think as an adult, it took me a long time to get to the point. We should mention at the end of this game, there is an ending. Mm-hmm. You actually, once you get through all the mazes and stuff, you get to this last area where you have to sort of climb up this building to get all the lanterns on it. And then after a few more rounds, you end up getting to this big, huge demon, I believe is what it is. And you it's funny because he's a big, huge, takes up the half the screen, and he just shoots stuff down at you. But if you just run across real quick, and I beat him on the first two levels, I beat him, and if you just run across real quick on both levels, you just kill him. you just have to get this last candle, and he's gone. And then you end up in this room full of treasure, mm-hmm. and Bruce Lee just jumps up and down and says congratulations.
And again, you know, it's a small thing these days, but having a set ending, having a final boss, I mean, these were groundbreaking concepts in gaming in home computers in 83 for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, when you pick this to do, of course, this is another, you've been very clever when you picked these 1200 XL games, because this is another one of my all-time favorite games. It's in my top two or three, certainly. It's got to be, you know, top two. I love it. And it's not just because it's Bruce Lee. I think I would have loved this if they had called it, like, Billy the Schmuck. because this is just a game that, as a kid, you just felt like you're playing something special and huge, and it's got underground layers, and it's got ninjas in it. It's got all this stuff. It just has a great vibe. I like the Atari version specifically, believe it or not, but for this, and this game doesn't have a lot of it, I like the sound effects on the Atari version.
Yeah.
I like the sound the electrical thing makes, and I like the sound effect of that steam. There are these areas where you jump across them, and it's, we always called them bushes, is what they look like, but I've always heard it was steam that would shoot out and kill you. It makes this sort of noise.
Not to mention the call of the Yamo when he appears, too.
Yeah, yeah. it's funny, because this is another game. We played in two games that I preferred on the Atari for the sound, and the Atari is not what I would say known for. It's super odd. It's not like crap sound.
Right, but it doesn't have the cachet that the SID chip has, for sure.
Right, but I don't know if it's just because that's what I grew up with. I mean, so that could be slanted on just the fact that's what I'm used to. But I do prefer the noise that this thing, you know, that it makes. I always thought that it was really good stuff. Let's see if I've actually got the goods here. Oh, I do want to talk about Datasoft real quick. So Datasoft was something you heard about a lot on the Atari back in the day. It was founded by Pat Ketchman, 80, boat, and which I think is kind of cool. And they did a lot of games. They did a lot of games that we've talked about, including I believe Dallas Quest was one of theirs. They ported over some games like Mr. Do and Puyan, so that's kind of cool. And they somewhere around 87, the company was beginning to fold, and they got bought out. So they were around for a few years, and they did good work. I also had a chance to look up some of the review scores on this particular effort. Now, some of these are from websites, and some of these, it's hard to find magazine stuff, but I found one here. So Atari Mania, the very popular website that has listings of all the games, the people in there give this an 8.6 out of 10. The Video Game Critic gave this an A-. Telematch from May of 84 gave this an 80. And the Mobi users gave this a 4.5 out of 5. I think those are all too low. I would give this an 8. I can't think of too many Atari games I like more.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was on the Retro Gamer number 18 on the top 25 platformers of all time as well. So there you go there. Did you get anything in the Discord for this one, Bo?
We got one user review by the one and only Chris Folds. As always, if you support the show, any of our shows on Patreon, you get access to our Discord server and you can post a review for us to read on the air. He says, as an aficionado of the Spectrum version, I was curious to try this version. Instantly has better graphics, sounds are similar level of beeps and boops. I found combat to be harder, but still not tricky, and was able to finish it on my second attempt. A great version of the 8-bit classic, 8 out of 10. So,
you know, did you see the question that just came through on the chat there? I think that's Neko asked about how this compares to the Amiga Tiger Claw, which we actually looked over that, a year and a half ago, Boat. And I will tell you that I did not like that very much.
Yeah.
So I don't think it compares favorably to this. And this is a game that's been homaged, or people have, you know, made Bruce Lee games. I've yet to play one that was in the ballpark of this one, Boatster. Have you played anything?
I agree with you 100%. I think that this, on the face of it, you're like, boy, this would be the easiest game in the world to update for a modern audience. And, you know, all you have to do is maybe introduce a couple different moves that he can do, maybe increase the offensive capabilities of Bruce just a little bit, make the world a little bit more detailed. You don't even have to make the world bigger. I think the game is a good size as is. But they've just, you know, nobody's been able to do it yet. It's just, hats off to the folks at Datasoft that put this thing together.
Yeah, Ron Fortier. I will say, Ron also did the Atari version of Zaxxon. Have you played? I'm sure you've played that.
I have played that.
And it's pretty decent, Boat. Yeah. And he also did Conan. It's funny that Conan would come up, because I know where I can get a copy of Conan for the Atari 8-bit, but it's super duper expensive. I've never bought it, but they've got it at the Hillbilly Flea Market. If I ever want to go down there. It's been there for months and months and months.
Speaking of prices, I did do a quick eBay search on this thing. And right now you can buy the, it looks like this is mainly available in cassette version. And you can get this thing boxed and ready to go for $22. This is overseas. The only domestic copy looks like you can get the disc and cassette bundled together. For $100, that is crazy expensive. I suggest you not pick that up. If you want to get, there is a U.S. Gold re-release, or maybe it was published in by U.S. Gold overseas in the U.K.
Yeah, it was.
For $22.
I've always wanted this one. We didn't know. It's, of course, my buddies pirated this back in the day. We never played a tape version. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't play much tape stuff on the Atari.
Yeah, me neither.
My buddy had the disk drive, and there was and since I had a tape on the Coker, there was no way I was going to recommend him to jump back into tape.
Right.
So
yeah. All right.
But a great game. Hillbilly Flea Market, buddy. I'll tell you about it sometime.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening, especially those fine folks that have joined us live over at twitch.tv/AmigosRetroGaming. We record 1200 XL once or twice a month, and we always will put out the call when we do. We always record it back to back with Amigos and our Sinclair. Mitsuyama's here with us. Nico Niao, Paul Kitching, Frodo NL, L. Curtis B, Darkwing 602, Pixels at Dawn, doing a great job with modding, and Duncan Styles. Thank you guys so much for hanging out in the chat with us. And we will be back next time with